Revelation chapter 2, verse 18 through verse 29. This is the reading of God's word. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like burnished bronze, says this, I know your deeds, and your love, and your faith, and service, and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of her deeds. And I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. But I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not known the deep things of Satan, as they call them, I place no other burden on you. Nevertheless, what you have, hold fast until I come. He who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. Please be seated. And let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be with the person who is preaching your word, that you will cause him to preach your word correctly, and that you will be with all of us who are hearing your word. Let us understand. Let us believe. And by your grace, let us obey your word. O Father, let us hear your voice through your word. We thank you that you do not leave your church alone, but that you praise and rebuke, and you promise heavenly blessings to your church. Oh Father, we thank you for your work through your church. And even as we hear your word, let us realize that it is your ministry to your people to make us more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And we pray in his name. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ is with his church, and he speaks to his church through his word. And that is exactly what we see in the book of Revelation. He is the one and the true living God who judges everything. He praises and he rebukes, he warns, he encourages his church, and he makes promises, heavenly promises, to his church. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We are to listen very carefully to what our Lord has to say to us, to our church. And the whole Bible is his word to us. But today, let us look at this letter to the church in Thyatira. Verse 18. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the Son of God who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like burnished bronze, says this. The one who has eyes like a flame of fire. We have already looked at this, what this meant or means. The God who sees all and who judges all. And the one whose feet are like burnished bronze. Again, we saw this. The God who through suffering and death now has all the authority and power and glory. The God who reigns all things under his feet. The one and only begotten Son of God. The risen Christ, God and man. The Lord and Savior of his people. He is speaking to his church. And he starts with a praise. Verse 19. I know your deeds and your love and faith and service and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than first. As you could see, it is a remarkable commendation. Jesus Christ, the Lord and God, acknowledges their love, their faith, and service, and perseverance. He even acknowledges that their deeds are better now than before. It is getting better and greater than before. They, with their love and faith, endure and they stay faithful. It seems that the church in Thyatira is near perfect. But in verse 20, this is what we read. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bond servants astray, so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. They have tolerated false teachers and false teachings. And because of that, some of them are committing acts of immorality and eating things sacrificed to idols. Now, we have already seen this, that these are not only referring to the physical acts, but they are also symbolical, pointing to spiritual realities. They point to the sins of spiritual adultery and love of this world. Thus, don't think that just because you are not committing the physical acts of these sins, that you are innocent of these sins. We are able to see from our text that the teachings of Jezebel result in the same things as the teachings of Balaam and the teachings of Nicolaitans that we already have seen. Committing acts of immorality and eating things sacrificed to idols. Chapter 2, verse 6, which I also hate, Jesus says. The church in Thyatira tolerated something that her Lord hates. They tolerated the things that God does not like. Well, the tolerance is the word these days. The world says we must tolerate. And yes, in many contexts, that is correct. But church cannot tolerate false teachings. and false teachers. Just like this church in Thyatira, some churches would tolerate many things that our Lord Jesus Christ does not. He has written a book to us to tell us what he does not tolerate. And we must obey that will that he revealed to us through his word. False teachings, even different religions, false teachers, and the love of this world. These false teachings make the people love the world more than Jesus Christ and make them serve themselves rather than God. False teachers teach their people to love the world and the things of the world, and they make them to boast about their works. Just the things that the teaching of Jezebel would make people to do. Do you remember what drove Balaam? We talked about Balaam's teaching, but what drove him to teach falsely? It was his greed, his desire for the things of this world. They teach people to hate and avoid sufferings and persecutions for their faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing has changed. Today, false teachers still teach the same thing. They even teach people of God to serve God, but at the end, for what purpose? To gain the things of this world. It's to love the world. And they teach the salvation by works so that they will be able to boast of their works. Galatians chapter 1 verse 6 through 8, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. And chapter 5, verse 2, Galatians, behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, and their circumcision was representative of all the works that they believe they need to do to be saved, but I, Paul, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, salvation by works, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. Do you hear what he's saying? Because he's preaching the gospel, he's suffering. But if he preach salvation by works, and if he preach to make people love the world, then he will not be persecuted because the world actually likes that kind of message. If we say God will give you the whole world will not reject our teaching. But Jesus Christ, we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Teaching the truth will bring persecutions. But Paul says in Galatians chapter 1 verse 10, for am I now seeking to favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Paul is not working to please men, but to please God. And we must remember that. Especially a person like me must remember that I'm not even here to please you. I'm here to please God. And I am to preach the word. The church in Thyatira, what they should have done, they did not. And what is that? They should have disciplined the false teachers and defended the truth, but they did not. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6b, do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Just little leaven, yeast, will make the whole dough rise and get bigger. What is he trying to say? If you leave that little thing alone, then it will penetrate to the whole. Church must discipline false teachers, false teaching, and sin. We must get rid of sins in our church. Because if we leave that sin alone in our church, it will affect the whole church. That's the principle that God gives. We must kick that sin out of the church. And we see this from the very beginning, this principle. Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, what did God do? Well, he kicked them out. He disciplined them. Israelites in the land of Canaan, when they sinned, what happened? God kicked them out. Because Garden of Eden and the Promised Land, they both point to heaven. Just like this church is the reflection of heaven. Church must discipline false teachers and completely destroy the false teachings. This is not an option. And you must urge your leaders to do so. If you see false teaching coming into the church and your leaders do not do anything, you need to tell them to do their job. Even when more than majority of people will like false teaching. Because it is not about pleasing men. It's about pleasing God. Jezebel, who was she? She was the wife of northern country Israel, Israel's king Ahab. She tempted the Israelites to compromise with the world, to worship other gods, and to commit immoral acts of sacrifices to the idols. Let's go to 1 Kings together. 1 Kings chapter 16. Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. It came about as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he married Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Sidonians, and went to serve Baal, or Baal, worshipped him. So he erected an altar of Baal, or Baal, in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. Ahab also made the Asherah. Thus Ahab did more to provoke the Lord of God, Israel, God of Israel, than all the kings of Israel who were before him. So we read about this king, Ahab, and it just summarizes everything for us, right? He did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. So he was the worst king. Chapter 18, 1 Kings, chapter 18, verse 4. And it says that, remember, he married Jezebel. And 18:4 says, "For when Jezebel destroyed the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50s in a cave and provided them with bread and water." So here you could see Jezebel killed many of God's prophets. Chapter 19, verse 1 and 2. Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me, and even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." So here Jezebel promises to kill Elijah. And chapter 21, verse 25, "Surely there was no one like Ahab." So we already saw how Ahab was the worst king, but what is the cause of him being the worst king? "Surely there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the sight of the Lord because Jezebel, his wife, incited him." Bible is clear that Ahab was the worst king because of Jezebel. And chapter 21 of 1 Kings has a story in which the king Ahab coveted the vineyard of Naboth. Now Jezebel plotted against Naboth, accusing him of cursing God and the king, and had him stoned to death so that her husband would get the vineyard of Naboth. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 22b shows the sins of Jezebel. There, Joram, the son of Ahab, says to Jehu, "Is it peace, Jehu?" Then Jehu, newly anointed king of Israel, says to Joram, "What peace? So long as the harlotries of your mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many." So by that you could see how Jezebel and her husband Ahab caused Israelites to sin against God. The same teaching is widespread in churches today. It makes people to go further away from the Lord Jesus Christ and to love the world and the things of the world and to serve oneself and boast about oneself. You do certain things. It's by works. God will bless you with worldly things. And once they have worldly things, now they boast how holy they are, how God has blessed them so much. They call themselves the servants of the Lord, but they are not. They teach false doctrines to make people commit spiritual adultery and love the world and oneself. They do their best to cause a divorce between our Lord, who is our eternal husband, and his bride, us. So false teachers, what are they doing? They try to cause a divorce between the husband, Jesus Christ, and the bride, the church. That is how Paul describes it. 2 Corinthians chapter, is it 11? Chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's read from verse 1 through 4. I wish that you would bear with me in a little foolishness, but indeed you are bearing with me. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I betrothed you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. But I am afraid that, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. Obviously, little sarcasm there. What is Paul trying to do? To present these people to Jesus Christ as a pure virgin, to Mary as a pure virgin. But Paul is concerned, because when the false teaching comes in, they eagerly accept it. They eagerly accept the false teaching. Go down to verse 13. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as the apostle of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. So remember, false teachers obviously would not come into church and say that they are teaching false teachings, because even Satan disguises himself as an angel. So we must be alert. And they will say that we must be tolerant. Tolerant of wrong teachings. Matthew chapter 21 through 27. Do you remember that? We studied that before. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Jesus Christ will judge them. Let's go back to our passage. Revelation 2, verse 21. I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation until, unless they repent of her deeds. And I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. Again, Book of Revelation uses the language of the Old Testament. But it is very clear that God will judge them. And the church must witness that reality of God. God judging these people. Church must witness that by disciplining them in the church. They are the bride of Satan. And they will be destroyed with her husband, Satan. Chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are also. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Jesus is warning the church. We must defend the truth. We must get rid of false teaching. But brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we are different. You and I are not like this. We are not the bride of Satan. We are bride of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 24 through 25. But I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not known the deep things of Satan, as they call them, I place no other burden on you. Nevertheless, what you have, hold fast until I come. You and I do not hold to that kind of teaching. You and I do not know the deep things of Satan. We have nothing to do with those things. We do not have to know sin to triumph over sin. You know, some parents, I hear this even from our church sometimes, and not often. Some parents are worried that their children do not know the world too well. As if that is something wrong. My child, he does not know the world too well. Is that a problem? Is that a problem? No, it's not. You do not have to know sin to triumph over sin. You do not know the deep things of Satan. We just don't know. It is okay not to know the world. Oh yes, if you do not know the world, you will suffer in the world. Yes, you're going to have some difficult times in the world. Yes, they're going to think you're a fool. Is that a problem? Seriously, brothers and sisters, is that a problem? Or is that how we want to live? For you who does not know the world that well, God says this, I place no other burden on you. If your desire is not to know the world, so that you will be a fool in the world, that you don't know the deep things of Satan. And that you love your Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. To you, Jesus places no other burden. He just says this, hold fast what you already have. Hold fast. Never compromise. Hold fast until I come. Brothers and sisters, we're talking about the freedom, the true freedom of our religion. If you love your Lord Jesus Christ, and you live your life in terms of loving Jesus Christ, do your best not to know the world. You're free to do whatever you want. You're free to do whatever you want. If whatever you want is in terms of loving Jesus Christ, this is the true freedom that our religion offers. What you have, hold fast until I come. Hold fast to the truth. Truth and trust Jesus Christ. And endure with joy and be faithful to Him until death. It is amazing grace as we hear His word. I place no other burden on you. Let us live like this so that we will be free to do whatever we desire because what we desire is to please our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks of two women. One, the bride of our Lord Jesus Christ. The other, the bride of Satan. So the Bible puts one group of people into one group, another group of people into another group, and one group is a bride of Jesus Christ, and the other group is a bride of Satan. They have their own husbands. And this reality was shown even in the Old Testament. Let us go to Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel 16, verse 15. But you trusted in your beauty and played the harlot because of your fame, and you pour out your harlotries on every passerby who might be willing. Now I know it's a little graphic, but this is how God describes Israelites who are worshiping other gods and wanting this world. Go to chapter 16, verse 25. You build yourself a high place at the top of every street and made your beauty abominable, and you spread your legs to every passerby to multiply your harlotry. You also play the harlot with the Egyptians, you lustful neighbors, and multiply your harlotry to make me angry. Verse 28. Moreover, you played harlot with the Assyrians because you were not satisfied. You played harlot with them and still were not satisfied. You also multiply your harlotry with the land of merchants, Chaldea. Yet even with this you are not satisfied. How languished is your heart, declares the Lord God. While you do all these things, the actions of a bond-faced harlot, when you build your shrine at the beginning of every street and major high places in every square in disdaining money, you are not like a harlot. Your adulterous wife, who takes strangers instead of her husband. Men give gifts to all harlots, but you give your gifts to all your lovers to bribe them to come to you from every direction for your harlotries. Thus, you are different from those women in your harlotries in that no one plays the harlot as you do. Because you give money and no money is given you, thus you are different. Therefore, harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because your lewdness was poured out and your nakedness uncovered through your harlotries with your lovers and with all your detestable idols, and because of the blood of your sons, which you gave to idols, therefore, behold, I will gather all your lovers with whom you took pleasure, even all those whom you loved and all those whom you hated, so I will gather them against you from every direction and expose your nakedness to them that they may see all your nakedness. You get the idea. This is what God says to Israelites who are committing spiritual adulteries. Go to Revelation chapter 19. Sorry, chapter 17, verse 1. Then the one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke with me, saying, come here, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality, and those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her immorality. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was clothed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a gold cup full of abomination and the unclean things of her immorality. And on her forehead a name was written, a mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and all the abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered greatly. This is the woman, the world, committing adulterous spiritual adultery with the world. This woman, God will judge in chapter 18 of Revelation, verse 9. And the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and lived sensuously with her will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment, saying, woe, woe, the great city Babylon, the strong city. For in 1 hour your judgment has come, and the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Isn't that interesting how God describes these things? This great harlot, Babylon, falls, destroyed by God and the world. They're very, very sad. Because they cannot do the business anymore. But you and I, we are not like this. We are the bride of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because in the Bible we see another woman, not just this great Babylon, but there's another woman. Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true words of God. Chapter 21, verse 2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betroth you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. This is what the ministry of the church is all about. This is the purpose of the ministry of the church. To present you as a pure virgin to Jesus Christ. So brothers and sisters, we cannot play harlotries with the world. We must stay pure. And Revelation is full of this picture. In this world, the bride of Satan will persecute the bride of the Lamb. The world will persecute you because you do not belong to the world. But you must stay faithful to your Lord until death. But in this world, we might be persecuted and go through a lot of sufferings, but Jesus promises to his bride heavenly blessings, verses 26 through 28. He who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. So he promises two things. First, the authority over the nation to rule them. The second, the morning star. Verse 27 is from Psalm 2. Verse 8 and 9, ask of me and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance and the very ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. This was a promise of God to the God the Father to the Messiah. That same promise is now given to you. The same promise that God the Father makes to Messiah is given to you. But remember how this promise is fulfilled. The Messiah, the Jesus Christ, he has been broken on the cross. He has been shattered like earthenware so that you will rule with him forever and ever. But he's resurrected from the dead. And he will come to break, shatter, to judge this world, and gather you, his followers, to his kingdom. Luke chapter 22, verse 29, 30, and just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 3a, do you not know that we will judge the angels? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2a, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? We will reign as kings with our true King Jesus Christ. We will participate in His kingship. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, we will reign with Christ. Revelation chapter 22, verse 5b, they will reign, meaning we will reign forever and ever. Yes, as a bride of Christ, you will suffer in this world. But in the other world, you are the kings. You will reign with king, reign as a king with Christ forever and ever. The second thing, we will be given the morning star. Revelation chapter 22, verse 16b. Jesus says of himself, I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. Jesus himself is given to us. And we will participate in his life. We too will be bright stars in heaven to shine the glory of God. Matthew 13 verse 43, then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father who has, he who has ears, let him hear. Daniel chapter 12 verse 3, those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. And those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Brothers and sisters who have already received the morning star. You have received the morning star. Long night has been passed away for you. The night of sin and darkness is over for you. The morning star. What does it show? That the night is over and the morning has come. The dawn of morning has come, brothers and sisters. The glorious kingdom of God has begun. The kingdom of light has begun. The light of that kingdom is shining already. Let us seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Let us shine the glory of that kingdom by defending the truth against the false teaching. Let us have our eyes focused on our God and be faithful to Him until death. Jesus, He gives Himself to us as His bride who possesses Him. Our confession is, whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. This is the confession of bride of Christ. Jesus is warning us. There is this false teaching that will make you love the world. That will make you to boast about yourself. That is the false teaching. The gospel says you must deny yourself and take up your crosses and follow Jesus Christ. But brothers and sisters, when you do follow him, you will not be dissatisfied. Because you are given the morning star. And you will reign as kings in that glorious place. Yes, it's pretty simple. Do you want this world or do you want the other world? Do you want Jesus Christ? Your answer is yes, because your confession. Let me read it one more time. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, Jesus Christ, I desire nothing on earth. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace upon your people. We thank you that you have made us new people, new creation. Because if you have not made us new creation, we'll still want this world and we'll still play harlotries with this world. But Father, you have made us new creation. And through the ministry of your church, you cause your people to stay pure, stay faithful, because you give us your word. And by your word, we are sanctified every single day. We thank you for your blessing upon your church. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.